This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, everybody. Yes. Stretch and yawn. Let's do a December stretch. Sorry, what was that?
My sphincter was just relaxing.
Oh, that's not a ladylike thing to say.
You know your sphincter isn't just your asshole, right?
Oh, it goes all the way in.
No, but you got lots of...
goes all the way in.
You got lots of sphincter muscles.
Oh, yes, you do.
You have a sphincter muscle at the...
esophagus?
At the point where the esophagus enters the stomach.
And that's where all the acid stuff comes up if your sphincter isn't...
Correct. And a sphincter is just a muscle that closes, like an asshole. But
yeah.
It's not the... it's not your asshole. It's a kind of muscle.
But I think the sphincter is the only one that you can control, the one in the asshole.
Oh.
You can make it, you know, sphincter or not.
It's not an autonomic nerve-controlled muscle.
No, whereas, you can do it right now. No, look, I mean, in, out.
What? Where?
What? This is not the kind of
the
show and tell I signed
up
for.
Yeah. She's busy exercising her sphincter.
Then do they all look like the one...
in your asshole?
Yes.
No, more or less. They just close and open.
That is not cute.
No, full of assholes.
So, and I mean, it's not just that kind of muscle. You've got lots of other muscles that you don't control. And you've got some that you do. Like the ones that you don't control, the obvious ones are like your heart. You don't think about your heart beating.
No. But situations can make a change.
Swallowing.
Like if you get a fright or...
Swallowing is interesting because it's half autonomic and it's half voluntary.
I quite like the intestinal movement, which was always described to me like a stocking. It's got...
Peristalsis.
Yes, that's right. It's got little muscles running long ways and around.
Mm-hmm.
Like a snake digesting things.
Yes.
And then they alternate the long ones and then the round ones.
Yes. So. How fascinating. So we started this morning with a whole lot of sphincter talk. Isn't that nice? Tuesday.
It's quite impressive.
Isn't it nice, huh? There we go. Just after 6 o'clock, what's happening? Maybe we take a few calls this morning, mess around. Let me read you a beautiful poem, all right? This is by someone called Titania McGrath.
And then
I'll explain who she is in a minute.
Okay.
It's a boy, cries the doctor, his tombstone tongue clacking, like a forked phallus in a dead donkey's quim. My baby has bollocks for eyes. It's a body, a slippery, bloodshot thicket of male flesh, writhing, retching, screwing itself into my psyche. This changeling brewed within my sacred space, only to rape its way out into the world.
Oh.
Fuck you, bitch, the not girl whispers, through a predatory milkman smile. Snigger burning my skin with its toxicity as it fashions a patriarchal noose from the pubic hair of 1,000 weeping midwives. Every baby boy is an abomination, a savage nugget of pus scooped from an open wound and dumped into sullied uteri. Mothers are cuck-stumped cradlers of newborn men, spit-sticked petticoats drenched in broiling cum. Isn't that revolting?
My goodness.
Isn't that the most revolting thing you've ever heard?
I think I read the censored version. It was boys aren't nice, throw rocks at them or something.
Yeah, this is Titania McGrath. She's some kind of feminist activist or something.
You think?
Oh,
and she says, okay. I run interactive kinesthetic slam poetry workshops for primary school children.
What?
It is never too early to get woke. Teachers DM me for bookings. Then she gives that example of a poem.
Who in their right mind?
I gotta tell you, like, this is just unbelievable. And then a whole lot of other feminists hop on board. She's a radical intersectionalist poet. So you just
That's
know.
That's disgusting. Imagine a man writing a poem like
that. He'd probably go to jail. But it's disgusting, right? And she says all tweets self-destruct after 7 days. And you know, I don't know what's going on with this woman, but she suddenly got a bit of attention online, and my God, she hates men.
Titania
McGrath.
Oh, okay. I thought we had to emphasize the tit and titania.
Well, Titania. I don't know. Titania. It's very weird, huh?
Jeez.
No, very weird. Man. I was talking to a cousin of mine who has been studying at UCT, and this kind of shit is what they learn. Like, they, instead of studying history, like particularly South African history, when there's this treasure trove of stuff, and UCT in particular has a lot of work to do in terms of getting its shit together and actually teaching people stuff that's valuable. But let's just for a minute put that aside. Apparently the history department there has spent 2 semesters with one of the classes looking at genderqueer women in Ghana in the 16th century. Now, first of all, that has to be made up. That has to be made up. That can't be an actual thing.
What do you mean?
Like, there weren't...
It's so this specific.
There is no way that there is documented evidence that there was anything even remotely like a genderqueer woman alive in Ghana in the 1600s. And if there was, and you're supposing that because I don't think there's documentary evidence, but if there is, let's imagine that there is, this is completely irrelevant to everyone on Earth. Totally and utterly irrelevant.
No, it's like a surgeon who studies too much of one thing and then knows nothing about everything else.
Only the big toe. And when you go to him and you're bleeding from every orifice, he can say, oh, well, I can fix your toe, but there's nothing I can do about the rest of you. It's very weird. This is a weird world that we live in where people...
I don't know what that means.
What?
I know what queer means. What's genderqueer?
I don't know. This is what they studied at UCT in the history department. I almost fell off my chair when I heard this. I was like, how's that history? And how's that relevant history? And how do you prove that's even a subject worth studying?
People have got too much time on their hands. They're bored.
What's your cousin saying? Is she...
No, it's a he, and he didn't study history. He's studying, I think he's doing law. But, I mean, he's like, the whole history department is just full of people with blue hair and anger. Anger. They cross with their daddies. They cross with their mommies. They cross with the government. They cross with white people. They cross with black people. It's very weird. It's like a whole lot of people are foisting their psychological problems on the rest of us. You know, I start my day and I try to think, how could I be better? And I try to produce something meaningful. I try to add value into the society I'm a part of. This clearly is not the way most people spend their day. I think I must be very lonely in that world. I don't feel it, but I think I am. Because these people who wake up angry, like this poem I just read you, is so revolting that I've said a lot of things on this show. And I've used some foul and coarse language. And I might have even had some opinions that you thought were revolting. But I don't think they're as revolting as that. And you know, it's weird. Like, you get away with that and you get called a slam poet, whatever that is. Yeah, exactly. It's those people who click like it. Like that, who in the world is ever going to pay someone for slam poetry? Has there ever been a rich slam poet? And you know why? Because the market has decided that is a pointless, stupid, self-absorbed waste of time. Slam poetry. Do me a favor. If you describe yourself as a slam poet or as a, what did she call herself, a radical intersectionalist? Nice. You've wasted your parents' money, because it's not your money. You didn't make any money if you're a slam poet. You've wasted your parents' money studying something that will never get you anything gainful, meaningful, or useful in your life. And you should go back to the drawing board, study something worthwhile, or pick up some tools and fix something.
Well, write a poem about yourself, and then you'll see what you really are.
Well, I don't think these people have any ability to introspect, because everything's externalized to them. Everything is someone else's fault, it's someone else's problem, it's someone else's thing, and they're just stuck with it.
They're the victims.
Yeah, it's always victim, victim, victim. Me, 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 me.
But I wonder how you aren't able to identify that.
No, because...
How looking externally all the time and pointing out other people's flaws and where other people take the wrong step is fine, but you don't look at what you do.
Too painful is the easy answer to that question. It's too painful. If you did, if you spent even a scintilla of a second trying to self-analyze or at least become a little self-aware, it would hurt you so badly because you clearly come from a place of some real damage if you're writing stuff like that. If you believe that the birth of an innocent boy child, according to that poem anyway, is some kind of malevolence, I mean, you've got way bigger problems than men in the world.
And then on
major, something terrible's happened to this woman. I mean, whatever it is, and it's probably been one man who really treated her horribly or something, I don't know. And if she was standing in front of me, I'd say to her, I'm really sorry. That's not how all of us are. There are psychopaths, male and female psychopaths. But to think of half of your own race of humans like that is pathological.
Well, that was going to be my next point. You know,
Hitler didn't write shit like that about the Jews.
And does she not realize that she is perfectly capable of giving birth to one of those things that she's describing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure she would ever give. It sounds like she doesn't want a man anywhere near her.
My next point was going to be
so weird, right?
Just on a personal note, I really am optimistic about the world, and I always look at the glass half full.
Yeah, me too.
But my optimism is not based on naivety.
Mm-hmm.
No, there are people who do bad, but I just always believe in people's inherent good. So how do you live if every single day you wake up already dismissing half the population, already saying all black people hate me, already saying all straight people are horrible?
I mean, how do you get through your day? It must be unbearable.
I don't know.
It must be unbearable.
How do you even leave the house?
It must be so hard. Like, how do you crack a smile when
you're revolted by half the population?
Yes. But when you just see everyone as enemies, because clearly, I mean, I don't think a lot of women would agree with her. I don't even think a tiny minority of women would agree with her.
No, I mean, you think of I just come to the thought of giving birth. A mother would be offended
I've never met a mother
who has a son.
I've never met a mother who gave birth to a boy or a girl who didn't say it was the most powerful, meaningful thing that's ever happened to them, because it is. It's, you know, it's a new life, and this is such a nasty, vicious, horrible person.
So weird.
And it does bother me that we... And, you know, she's being regaled by feminists. This is the problem with Twitter, right, is we think it's real. We think that's the real world. But actually, Twitter's just full of a bunch of very diseased people.
And they're hiding behind
the medium. Well, they're hiding behind anonymity, but they're also, like, the way Twitter's constituted, it seems to me that it's made in order to attract nastiness and bad people and people saying shit things about each other. Like, you don't see a lot of people being positive, optimistic, helpful, useful, inspiring. You don't see a lot of that on Twitter. It's rare. Do you know what I mean? Like, you see a lot more of this attention-seeking, small-minded, lashing out, cruelty, ugliness, trolling. That's what you see mostly. Twitter's not constituted to be conversational.
Well, it also depends on who you're following. I mean, I tend to follow people who are more positive.
Yeah, look,
so my feed looks like that.
I don't disagree. I mean, I've blocked a ton. I haven't blocked anyone. I mute like tons and tons of people. Mm. So when I post something now, I know that there are probably, I don't know, 60 replies that I don't see.
Mm.
And that's fine. I've like cleansed my world of, and not of criticism, but of people who are just, they're angry, angry people. And it just exhausts you, you know? Like, I don't want to, I don't hate this woman who wrote that poem. I don't have... I don't even know who she is until today. But I wouldn't want to spend more than 5 seconds in her company, because it sounds like a toxic person. And I'm over it. I'm at the age now. And Sia, you said you're optimistic and you can't imagine going through a day where you imagine the whole world's against you like mm-hmm. that. But I'm like almost double your age, and I have no energy for this stuff anymore. I really don't. Like, when you see people standing up and screaming and shouting about inequality and unfairness, and I'm like, well, do something about it. You have the power.
Stop making a noise.
Sure. I've had to fight for a lot of what I've got and what I believe in. So you do it. You know, there's a whole lot of people out there wanting everyone to solve their problems and writing slam poetry instead of putting one brick on top of another and making themselves a house.
Do you find that you're like that in your personal life as well?
What, like I've lost the energy to argue like this?
Because
I used to be big on this stuff. I mean, I used to watch great debates between, you know, William Buckley and Gore Vidal and Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins. And I'd watch these things and they would inspire me. And I'd think, yeah, I need to get up on a stage and argue like this, because it's something that I find really meaningful, and it's where I can add some value. And now I'm like, Let's talk about sphincters first thing in the night. You know?
Yeah, you've mellowed a lot.
Have I?
You, oh, yeah.
In your observation?
Definitely. You're very different to what you were before.
Because it
got a bit unpleasant, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I used to be a bit unpleasant. I mean, tell me the truth. We've known each other a long enough time.
You know, you're calling this woman angry, but I think you also had a real fire in you, which is completely normal for a young person. I think you, I mean, I can say the same of myself. If I just look at my road rage, I used to have intense road rage. And now I've completely mellowed. If someone hoots at me, I just, you know, I'm like, oh, whatever.
Oof, okay.
But whereas before, I'd stop the car, I'd get out, I'd threaten them, I'd
Jesus, you
cry.
That is scary.
Yeah. And you just, life in general, you start mellowing out. You realize what's important.
You're still not in the mellow phase? Oh. I mean, you're a pretty mellow guy, though.
No, road rage in particular, because yesterday I nearly drove an old woman off the bridge. Okay, can I just vent? It is frustrating.
Yeah, do some slam poetry.
Okay. So there's this river that runs through Bryanston, which is a suburb here in Johannesburg, and there's a very narrow bridge in Bryanston that everyone knows, whether you're on whatever side you're on the bridge, you have to wait because it's a one-way bridge, and it is who went to the line first,
yes,
who gets to go first.
Right.
This other woman on the other side totally disregarded the line.
Yeah, because she's older and she thinks she's privileged. Oh,
so I said, "Two can play this game, woman. Listen up." So I carried on down the bridge and we met in the middle and I just stared at her.
And what was she doing?
She just was... Her arms were up in the air.
She's angry, right?
Ooh. And all I could think about was, I'm so glad I drive a tiny car because the bridge has no barriers on either side. And if my car was powerful, I would just push you over the bridge and then say, whoopsie, it was a mistake.
Yeah, if you were in a big 4x4 with a grill.
Someone says here that Titania is actually satire. Apparently it's a satire account on Twitter that's designed to wind up idiots who can't tell the difference between satire and real life. Actually, the account was suspended yesterday as Twitter notified her that humor can be hurtful. Okay, so Clive, thanks for that. But it doesn't change the fact that there are actual feminists who really think it's for real. And that's how I found out about it. Like, I follow one or two of these crazy crackpot feminists. And they were retweeting her like she's a real person. So, and by the way, did I say at any point that she should be banned?
You may have.
I'm sure I didn't.
You did call her crazy.
I did say she's crazy. I didn't say she should not be allowed to do what she does.
Not sure. I'll have to listen to the tapes, darling.
But well, I wouldn't. So whether she's a real person or not, and whether or not I agree with what she's saying, I will defend her right to say it. I've always said that.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But that is interesting. I mean, if so, because there are a couple of parody accounts that are worth following on Twitter, sometimes it's very difficult to tell whether someone is for real or they're not. And in this case, there are people who think like Titania McGrath.
You have to have some sort of anger in you to have come up with that.
Well, maybe, you know, it's probably a guy. I mean, it's probably a dude.
I could try really hard, account. But I don't think I'd have that venom in me.
And what's the, like, where's your upshot? Like you get people wound up.
Yeah.
But see, I then go back to what Timothy Marie said earlier this year when he stopped by the show and he was speaking about who we follow on social media and what that says about us. And we say, you know, we're all different and that's great. But meanwhile, we all just gravitate to who we are. You know, we gravitate to sameness and how sameness is good. I can't just deal with people like this. You know, that's why I just stay off. Or I just go there. Like a picture of a celebrity baby, retweet an Oprah quote, and then go off.
Wow, have you seen what's happening in France? I'm going to need someone to explain this to me because I haven't really been paying attention to it, but there are protests all over France. The place is in just chaos at the moment. I mean, Macron is busy trying to pass reforms to get people to just calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the whole country is just
up
in arms. I wish I knew. It's got something to do with
wages.
It's wages and it's working hours and it's the unions and and it's about government interference in the economy, and I'm not sure. I need someone to explain it to me. So if you know, I'd love it.
Well, the latest I saw, and this is just a strip of a headline on a news channel last night, was that the president of France was promising a minimum wage increase.
Mm. But yeah. Someone, if you know, because I mean, we've got much smarter listeners than me. If you know what's going on in France and you could explain it to me properly, that would be very helpful. Michelle says, Leanne, I have only recently stopped getting annoyed when I drive. So I stopped speeding and I'm actually enjoying the trip and saving money by me being more relaxed. My tank of drip goes further, Michelle. Yeah, because when you drive like an angry person, you're actually
using up petrol.
You use up way more
and
fuel.
And you're running your brakes and...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one major advantage.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Because you're smashing your brakes down and you're speeding fast, you're accelerating. And
you're not getting any way faster than anyone else.
The person you hate who, like, cut you off in traffic 5 minutes before, who's at, you know, one car or two cars ahead of you with the robot.
That reminds me of a story when I was working at the SABC and there was a motorbike in front of me who didn't indicate or something, and I lost it.
You got cross.
Oh, I revved and caught up with him and slowed down and hooted and zapped him. And then he went into the same parking lot as me.
Oh, shit.
And then we ended up in the lift together.
Oh, no.
And it was just dead silence and staring at the floor. It's so awkward.
That is
and also, awful. I've realized as well, you don't know what situation the person is in at the moment in that car. They might be driving slowly because they've got someone in the car who's injured. Or
they might be crying. They might be crying and struggling to see through the tears.
Yeah, I have a little sympathy. Spending. They might have something as simple as pot plants on the back seat. You know?
You don't know.
Well, get out of the fast lane.
There you go.
See, it's got no patience for
no,
this.
Not at
zero.
I ask about whether you have adopted that in your personal life or not, Gareth, because I've started doing that.
Yeah.
And I have been benefiting so much. I've only started this like a couple of months ago. I don't have the energy to argue anymore. If you don't see things the way I do, and we've already had conversations about it. You've expressed your point once. I've expressed my point
once. So you're not completely lazy. You'll get there. You'll at least figure out the territory.
Yeah, but why do we have to go on and on and on again?
This is the weird thing. Is like, I think you and I are getting to the same point on this. You've just got there a lot quicker than me. So God bless you, and you're going to have a much better life.
God bless you, Sia.
Because I've wasted so much time trying to convince people of my point of view, and they don't care.
Which then also extends
to... wake up in the morning and go, I'm looking for a better point of view than I've got. They go, I'm right.
No, yeah, I think there's a difference between trying to educate yourself and learning and being better and then indulging in useless arguments.
Yeah. So we're both on the same page. I mean, it's amazing to me that you are at that point at, what, 23, 24?
23. I have 3 more months of being 23. Please milk it for as long as it lasts?
All right, fine.
Thanks.
It took me a lot longer to get there.
But it also extends
to time
people
I wasted.
Who complain about things that they worry about. I can't do that anymore.
I thought about it, right? I probably spoke and interacted with, I don't know, hundreds of people that I don't even see anymore. That I've invested so much time and energy into.
You needed an outlet, though. You certainly had
so
one.
So weird, right? So weird. Anyway, I'm happy to say I'm trying to keep on improving. So let's see if I can keep that going.
That's all we can do. Another day, another improvement.
Right. 5 things you need to know. Do you want to get into it?
Yes, please.
All right. First things first, Theresa May, who really is having she's the worst time. She on Monday abruptly postponed a parliamentary vote on the Brexit deal, throwing Britain's plan to leave the EU into chaos after admitting that she'd faced a rout. May's move on the eve of the scheduled parliamentary vote opens up an array of possible outcomes, ranging from a disorderly Brexit with no deal to another referendum on EU membership. May's own position could be in jeopardy with calls from opposition parties for her to step aside. This poor woman, she's between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
They can't get the right Brexit deal. And if they don't get the right Brexit deal, it'll be a disorderly Brexit, and then it's going to be a mess to the economy, and it's going to make people very uncomfortable, and there's going to be a lot of uncertainty. And then there's this threat of another referendum, which would probably go the same way, even though the politicians would hope that it didn't. And then her own position is hugely tenuous at the moment. So poor Theresa May, I mean, just spare her a thought. She's going to have a shit Christmas.
Ooh, wouldn't want to be her.
Hello, children. Hello, everyone. Hello, Theresa. I'm here to have a happy Christmas. Well, wait till your phone goes. Poor woman.
Yeah, just don't wake up.
Jesus. I remember she was a Remainer. She didn't want a Brexit. Now she's got to pick up the pieces of this. President Emmerson Mnangagwa is set to make public the report by the former South African President Kgalema Motlanthe's led commission of inquiry into the 1st of August fatal shootings of civilians in Harare. Remember, they hauled poor old Kgalema Motlanthe across the border to go and help them in a commission of inquiry into the 1st of August fatal shootings that took place when 6 people were killed. A 7th person died in a stampede shortly after their landmark elections in Zimbabwe. So the leader contradicted his spokesperson, George Charamba, who last week claimed that the report was only meant for the president's eyes. Following a public outcry, Charamba made a volte-face.
It's been a long time since I've heard anything of Kgalema Motlanthe.
Yeah, he's been quite... Kgalema Motlanthe. That's how... There was a woman who actually pronounced his name like that in the news once.
Yes.
Kgalema?
Kgalema Motlanthe. Oh, wow. The ANC is just so sick inside. The ANC has confirmed a sexual harassment complaint has been laid against its national spokesperson, Pule Mabe. The party said the complaint by a 26-year-old woman was lodged last week with the Deputy Secretary General, Jesse Duarte. A panel has been appointed to deal with the matter. The ANC confirms a complaint has been lodged. We have since established a grievance panel as per our personnel manual to ensure a fair process. The panel will hear the case later this week. Until finalization of these internal processes, the ANC will not comment on the substance of the allegations, said the party in a statement on Monday. Yeah, you know, that there are a lot of people who say that this kind of thing, particularly among politicians, like male politicians, who just take chances with women all the time because they've got power. You know,
some actually don't know the difference. They think it's fine.
They think it's okay.
Like our darling President Zuma, who...
Darling? Is your darling? Didn't know you guys had that close.
Who was in a rape trial, and he was like, but what's wrong? Yeah. There was nothing wrong.
Well, the woman is expected to appear before the party's grievance committee on Wednesday. Can you imagine how intimidating that is for her? Anyway, I mean, let's not prejudge this, because it could also be nonsense. The unnamed woman, who is said to be an ANC Youth League member, said she was harassed by Mabe this year when they were on a work assignment. She described 2 incidents where Mabe had acted inappropriately, including an instance where he visited her room and even climbed on the bed. The woman said when she rejected his advances, his attitude towards her changed.
Can I just break in with some breaking news?
Breaking, of course. Just hang on. Let's get everybody up and paying attention here. This is very important.
I can't concentrate
all right, here
anymore.
It is. Let's go. What's the breaking news?
Whew, goodness me. This is quite a big thing.
Go on.
It's finally here. Josie, we're giving you the first ever drive-through bar. It's called One on Nickel, and it's a drive-through bar, first for Josie. Yes. Come and have one for the road with us.
Mm. A drive-through bar?
Oh, on William Nickel.
Oh, my God.
I do know of... There is actually a drive-through bottle store on the West Rand. I've seen that.
Really?
But a bar means it assumes that you're going to be drinking while you're in the car.
Sure.
I mean, if this is not asking for a new place for the JMPD to stop and wait, then I don't know what is.
I know. They just have to hang around outside there. They'll catch all the people.
Simply. This bar is saying that they only offer one drink per driver, and it will be monitored. I'm just like...
Okay. Well, I suppose, yeah, if you've...
Yeah, I'll just get one drink, then I drive around the block again, and I get another drink, then I drive around the block again, then I'm done.
A couple of messages quickly before we carry on with the 5 things. So, dear Gareth, I think the cost of fuel is partly contributing to the protests in France.
Oh, I see.
Okay, that's helpful info. And Greg says, could you please repeat what you said the last 5 minutes? I was not listening.
Sure. Sure.
Sure, Greg. No problem. Everybody else just hang on a little bit. We're just going to let Greg catch up. And Anushka says, pray for me. I'm driving to Nigel today to meet with a team that builds the trains. I've never been to Nigel. Hope no one kidnaps me and then cooks me.
Oh, my God.
Cooks me. The DA are going to take action after Ritama's kill white people threats. This is the story yesterday that I was unsure. It broke sort of while we were doing the show.
So I found out what was behind it.
Yeah. Do you want to explain it?
It was a white female lawyer in the courtroom who apparently, not in the courtroom, sorry, in the building, who apparently had a little tiff with the security guard. I don't know, maybe he was taking his time over something, I'm not quite sure. And there were members of this party around
BLF, yeah.
Around her, and they heard this happening and they said, you're being racist and white blood will be spilt.
Wow. Well, that's where it started, but he actually told the BLF rally, I can't believe they had a rally, I don't know how many supporters they have, but if Johann Rupert hires anyone to kill one black person, now I don't know whether Johann Rupert has ever said he wants to kill a black person, so I would be surprised if he doesn't sue. They in return will kill five white people. When you start talking like this, this is just really crazy. The DA says it will be reporting the leader of the BLF, Andile Mkhithama, to the South African Human Rights Commission and the Equality Court for inciting violence against white South Africans. The party will lay complaints in terms of the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act. Mkhithama is reported to have told the BLF rally in Potchefstroom over the weekend that if Johann Rupert hires anyone to kill one black person, I mean, which is just, this is madness. Mm. They'll kill five white people. DA leader Musi Maimane has responded. When individuals like Andile violate the rights of other human beings and incite violence, we ought as citizens to condemn such statements. I hope the prosecution system will take its full action. Well, yes, that's dictionary definition hate speech. You're calling for people to be killed on the basis of their skin color. It's outrageous. And motorists have been advised to apply for temporary licenses amid a backlog. Apparently, the Department of Transport has a driving license card problem. Motorists who have applied for a driver's license are still waiting to receive them are being advised to apply for temporary licenses or risk being fined.
Uh-oh.
I'm one of those. I need to go and upgrade mine.
Oh, I felt so smug yesterday because my car license was renewed and I paid all my fines and my license, my driver's license is fresh. I felt so smug.
Like, hey, pull me over.
I know. I drove past the Metro Police. I was like, come on, why don't you pull me over this time?
You're like an 18-year-old entering a bar.
Yeah. Felt so full of myself.
Go and ask for my ID.
I would have been so thrilled if they had, but of course they don't.
Exactly. Watch, no one will now.
It's ridiculous. All right, so there we go. Those are the things you need to know today. Some of it is good, some of it is bad, some of it's just downright depressing, but we'll move on. That's the news. The current Bitcoin and Ethereum price, $3,461 a Bitcoin, and Ethereum at $91. Do you remember it was about this time last year that it started to reach those astronomical levels, like $20,000?
Oh, the good old days.
Huh? From that to $3,461. Oh my God, how far we've come.
So,
a little bit later on, we'll be speaking to a couple of interesting people about Proudly South African and being members of Proudly SA. You know, we've had these conversations the past few weeks. Nothing short of inspiring. It's about entrepreneurs who get to share their stories with us, rewriting the narrative of what being Proudly South African really is all about. And we're going to speak to Nkosane Mthimkhulu, who is the founder of Southwestern Dairy, and Ntokozizi Sibanda, who's the CEO of African Applied Chemical, both companies that I think you'll be interested in hearing about. And maybe it'll inspire you to do your own thing or to buy Proudly South African products. We'll find out a little bit later on. 20 minutes to 7. Sia, do you want to inspire us today?
Yes.
Said by Sia time. Very nice. Take it away.
Leanne, I know you're going to love this one.
It's because about a bar, a mobile bar.
Something else that Leanne loves?
Cats serving drinks at a bar.
Oh, Almost there, but not exactly. Okay. So I've actually heard similar stories like this in the US. I didn't know that we do the likes of this, but there's a South African organization called Paws for People. And this is what they do. They go around, and especially this time of the year, they're spreading some festive cheer in the pediatric oncology ward at the Netcare Unitas Hospital in Centurion. So this is an organization that's run by volunteers, and the volunteers are basically handlers of pets, and they take pets to kids in the hospital. Aww. I think that is so cute.
That is cute.
The team visit wards every second Thursday, but this particular last Thursday was extra special because they brought animals, and they also brought some treats for the kids as well. They brought some chocolates, and they had some fun with the kids there. One of the mothers, Shannon Brand, who's mother to four-year-old Caitlin, who's a cancer patient at the hospital, actually said that her daughter waited all day just for the dogs to come this time around. She says that it's one of her favorite things, because four-year-old Caitlin loves pets, but now because of her weakened immune system, you know, like they go to the zoo, and Caitlin often cries because she's not allowed to touch the pets there because she can't really interact with anything that might make her more sick. So something like Paws for People making a stop at the hospital really, really assists her in so many ways. The organization was founded back in 1997, and they offer animal-assisted therapy and activity programs in Gauteng and Free State and KZN and in the Western Cape as well, which I think is so cool. Lindy Finney Asphalt is one of their volunteers who's been volunteering since 2012, and she says that the visits to hospital with pets actually have real health benefits for children with cancer and other serious illnesses. According to the organization, they say that it lowers blood pressure, it decreases cortisol in their bodies, and it provides a positive distraction for them. It improves their mood and in turn reduces their pain perception. And actually, the visits also benefit family members of the sick children by reducing their stress levels. So I think this is so, so cool. It's called Paws for People, and they're doing amazing, amazing work. You know, like a few years ago, Ryan Seacrest, and we often make fun of him on the show, but he started what he does best. He started an organization called Seacrest Studios, and he runs these production studios in various children hospitals, at least for specialized children's programming, TV shows, hospital entertainment to distract kids.
It takes some very special people to go and work in these pediatric oncology wards. You have to be strong. I wouldn't be able to do it once, let alone every day. And these people who then find ways to make life more exciting and more bearable for some of these kids, I cannot tell you how much respect and love and compassion that takes.
So I just wanted to bring those two stories up this morning, because I think, you know, the festive season, we all want to be with our families. We all can't wait to relax. But think about the people in the hospital right now.
And the kids in hospital. That's horrible.
So let's see what we can do, folks. Let's spread some cheer, especially to you, those in hospital as well.
Last year, this time last year, my mom was still in ICU. Oh, no, she'd moved to rehab. And celebrating Christmas at this time is so difficult. And
in a hospital.
Yeah. Even if you celebrate away from the hospital, you know, that person's presence is really, really missed. It's really not great. It's a horrible time of the year for that. But also my dad showed me a clip on his phone of this horse who goes into...
Yes.
Did you see that?
I saw the horse that goes into this hospital.
Goes and sees terminally ill patients.
It's like in Mexico or something?
Not sure, actually. But he's this wild colt, this really excitable young horse who runs across the field with so much energy, and then he completely calms down and walks through the hospital. He decides which doorway he wants to go into. And, he just... head-to-head nuzzles the patients, and I just burst out crying. I was like, Dad, why are you showing me this?
Yeah, it's incredible. I saw that clip too. I wasn't sure what I was watching.
It's so cute.
All right, 6:45. this is Roy Wood Jr. This is hilarious. Take a listen.
I know it's not what she wanted, but, you know, Hillary Clinton ain't in a bad place by losing that election, man. She's not in a bad place. She's getting paid, book deal, touring. six-digit checks anywhere she goes to explain what happened. Anyway, Hillary Clinton, pull up. Six-figure check. What happened? You want to know what happened? This is what happened. I wrote it. This is what happened. She has no job. This is an unemployed person touring the country explaining why they have no job. That's dope. President is the only job you can apply for, not get the job, and then you get to write a book explaining why you have no job. There's no other job you can do that. I'm not hating on Hillary. I just wish somebody would have told me that was an option when Foot Locker turned me down. Did you read Foot Locker? Oh, that's not even his best work. You've got to read Fast Food Restaurant. It's a riveting tale.
Don't you love that? That's fantastic.
That is so true.
Yeah.
She gets to tour the country saying, this is why I didn't get the job.
Well, she was in India over the weekend for this massive, massive wedding. Supposedly, it's like one of the...
Hillary was?
Yeah. I'm still trying to research who got married.
Nick Jonas.
No.
Nick Jonas got married in India.
So this... Whoever these multi-millionaires / billionaires could be, yeah. Straight after Beyonce performed here for Global Citizen, she went straight to India to perform at this private
obviously
wedding.
Obviously, it's the Guptas. What's wrong with you?
And then actually one of the articles that I read actually spoke about whoever this couple is or this family are, they're so powerful that Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra didn't go on a honeymoon. And instead, they attended this wedding.
Jeez.
Hillary Clinton was there. So we're just trying to pin the dots of who this could be. Beyonce isn't a very cheap penny to be a wedding singer, but...
No, yeah. Hell no. I mean, if you get Beyonce as your wedding singer, you got serious cash.
And why is Hillary Clinton there?
Yeah, that's suspicious.
Reigns is a nightmare.
Crooked to Hillary.
Yeah, she doesn't usually revolve in celebrity circles much.
A quick thing from Polly van Veek, who we've had on the show a couple of times. She once or twice did a burning platform with us. She's, of course, with Scorpio, which is the Daily Mavericks investigative unit. She's got a couple of stories that have broken very recently, and one of them is around this VBS loan to Floyd Shivambu's brother, Brian. Now, she's found a couple of problems with that loan and why it should never have been approved. Number one, he didn't qualify for a loan in the first place, Brian Shivambu. Number two, he got the loan after Floyd intervened with management. Number three, he was running a business that was actually just a slush fund. It wasn't a legitimate business. Number four, apart from an illegal 16.1 million rand, that business got a loan. Over and above that. Number five, he didn't ever service the loan, and he paid some of the money back with stolen VBS funds.
Oh, no.
So this is just rotten, rotten, rotten. I think there are a lot of interesting stories that are going to come out of this that will make everybody who thinks that they've found the political party that's clean and decent and just for them, make them remind themselves that there is no such thing. They're all just crooks, the whole lot, all these politicians.
Feel some slam poetry coming on.
We don't need them anymore.
You gotta shut the door.
Yeah, okay, let's maybe not do the slam poetry. We're probably shitty at this.
We could try. That was a good two-line effort so far.
I'm kind of annoyed. Today I was going to do this thing, this color therapy thing. There's a really interesting woman called Tracy who popped in here the other day. We had a meeting with her.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling me about the power of color,
mm-hmm,
and how she, you know, what colors you wear, what sort of colors you have in your environment, what color your car is, what your favorite color is. All of this has a huge role to play in the way you live. Certain people are naturally inclined to choose certain colors.
Mm. It's really hard to choose a favorite color. I wish someone would tell me what mine is. Maybe she could.
Maybe she could, but I was going to have a session with her today, and so was Greg, who works here with us, and she's just canceled. I just saw the email.
Oh, no.
I'm kind of annoyed about that. I was looking forward to it. I would come in to tell you that my color is puce.
Yeah, crimson.
Do you believe in that, though?
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm just curious. Let's just do it and see what happens. Maybe there's something in it.
Because I think, and really I'm just assuming here with no educational basis, but people would say, oh, black is such a dark color, you know, evil spirits.
Because you only wear black.
But I just like how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've invested in black curtains and
I have black curtains.
Oh, don't get me started. It's like these thick hotel curtains that block out the light. I have black candles everywhere. Ooh. Now. I bought a decanter for some whiskey and it's a black skull. So I'm not going through some emo phase. I just love how it looks.
Okay. All right. Yeah, fine, you goth.
Yeah, I'm gonna feel all a right. seance coming
Excuse
on.
Excuse me, let me just go and drink the blood of a virgin.
Yeah, exactly.
Quickly, I'll be back.
Telling you, you gotta watch out for Sia. He's turning into a goth.
And then I just love this picture. We'll just have to explain it, though. I'm going to read it first before I show the two of you in studio. It says, Kirk Douglas celebrates turning 102 and looks in good spirit.
102. You know that he's on my death pool list.
Is this the definition of someone who looks like he's in good spirits?
He looks like he's in pain, like he's shitting right at the moment that they took that photo. He could be shitting right now.
But he can't tell, though.
It's like that
no,
meme.
No, he can't tell.
It's where the old man says to the doctor, I've got a real problem. I take a dump at 8 o'clock every morning. And the doctor says, but that's great. What's the problem? He says, I only wake up at 9.
Shame, Kirk Douglas, 102. And if he ends up dying, then I actually get 2 points taken away from me.
Yes.
Because anything over 100, you lose
really?
Points.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because he's outlived your...
our expectations. Yeah. He's on the line. You want to speak to him?
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. And remember, just bear in mind, he did have that stroke, so he's a little bit difficult to understand some of the time.
Yes,
Mr. Kirk Douglas, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Do you remember who we are?
I remember you, Lord.
Yeah, he remembers me. That's sweet. 102.
Are you wearing shoes?
Am I wearing shoes? Yes, I am. I'm Kirk. Are you?
I have a bowel movement.
Ooh.
So I need to wear my shoes in case.
In case you slip in it.
Mr. Douglas.
Oh, goodness, he's full of jokes still.
How's your son, Michael?
Still with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Still wearing casual jeans at home.
That's right.
That's right. Where do you want to know?
What else do I want to know?
I am Spartacus.
Yes, you were.
Yes.
102 years old.
But Mr. Douglas, you have a great head of hair.
I have.
That's a full
a
head of hair.
A very good pubic hair as well.
Ugh.
It's down to my knees.
Oh, Rapunzel.
How wiry do you think that is?
My grandfather was 102 when he died.
Fuck your grandfather. Talking about me.
I thought maybe you knew him.
I'm the only one who lived to 102.
Okay, well, we'll let you have that one.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Douglas.
He
is living out his investments. Jeez, like...
Well, can you imagine?
He will leave nothing for inheritance because he would have used it all to live.
They say that the longer you have, the more your investments grow.
I think of my 102-year-old grandfather. He had a great pension because he was a mining engineer from Anglo.
Yes.
And, I mean, they must have been kicking themselves. Shame they were still paying it out.
He's still alive at 102.
Yeah, he retired in his 60s and he lived to almost double.
Wow. Kirk Douglas. So he says he's still in good nick. He's happy and healthy and he's not going anywhere, right?
Hmm.
2 years ago, he had an estimated net worth of $60 million.
You see, he's all right.
That's more than all right.
Yeah, that's not a bad payout. I mean, yeah, good for him.
Oh my gosh, I would not.
Good for him.
To be alive at 102.
I'll never forget that one. He went up and made that speech. Do you remember? And then he also went to the Golden Globes at 101 years old.
It was so cringy.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I wonder if we could find that speech. It was so bad. They probably edited it out.
I tried to find it, and I couldn't anywhere. Not on YouTube, not on Twitter, not on any of these other sites. Yeah, because he was pushed onto stage in a wheelchair by Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That's right.
And I don't know whether this was because they didn't rehearse enough, but I don't know how you look past this. But they had the microphone very awkwardly in the middle between Catherine Zeta-Jones's height and Kirk Douglas's height in the wheelchair. So he was just mumbling. Firstly, you can't really understand him because of the stroke, but then secondly, you couldn't hear him properly. It was just
bizarre. And thirdly, he didn't know where he was.
Getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. You know, when Michael was doing Streets of San Francisco...
What?
When he was doing Sweets in San Francisco.
Buddy Carl Morgan.
Okay, yeah, I got that. Did you get that?
Yeah, all of it.
I read a book, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, my.
No, okay. It's not, I'm done.
All right, well, you know what? Happy birthday, Kirk.
Sure.
Happy birthday, man. I'm going to be worse than that. I might be dead. I might not even make 102, but I guarantee
you. I think it's highly likely.
He's done okay. As someone who's come back from a stroke, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Better that than being dead young.
You know, if you just have a minute of no pain at 102 years old, that's something to celebrate.
That's a big deal.
Have you ever heard someone with just mere arthritis in their fingers?
Oh, my God, the pain.
Like their 70s, how much they complain about.
No, again, my grandfather was doing really well. You'd ask him every day how he felt, and he said, top of the pops.
Yeah, so he was good, huh?
Yeah, he didn't have much pain at all, and he went in his sleep.
Ah, that's the way to go. All right, enough of this depressing stuff around Kirk Douglas and going in your sleep.
Oh, what a legend.
We have so much to get into. We're going to talk proudly South African in a little while. It'll be... the final episode where we get to meet some entrepreneurs who've really done their best to put South Africa out in the international stage and to sell local products that people would be interested in. Got an email from Alison who said she feels like she's being ripped off on data. She says, I normally listen on Wi-Fi, but because I'm on holiday in South Africa, I bought a local SIM and data, and it's their special night owl offer time. What a hoot. It's expensive.
Night owl.
Yeah, I got that. No, see, you don't have to be, yeah.
Sorry.
I got it.
See,
I
just so it's got an it owl. There's the sound an owl makes.
Yeah, thanks. Did you want to explain any more to me? Like I'm Kirk Douglas?
Hoot, hoot, like that.
Yes.
You know, the owls and that's what.
All right. Thank you both so much. I'm so glad you explained that to me. I would never have figured it out otherwise. Geniuses.
Oh, what a hoot.
Wow. This show's gone everywhere this morning. Everywhere.
This is CliffCentral.com.